Blog Talk Radio.
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, let them hate then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
Well, good evening, folks. Welcome to another Parents Coach Press Network show here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, M.H. Scott, and as always, I'm going to try to promise you another wonderful show. You know, throughout this past week, I had an opportunity to attend a number of sporting events. You know, just watching and checking and seeing what the kids are doing out there and, you know, just seeing how the athletes are getting along. But more importantly, during the time period that I was out there and I was doing that little bit of observation, I had a chance to observe parents and really take a real close look at what are we doing as parents attending these various events. You know, and I found a wide variety of different things going on. You know, I had some of us out there that were quite angry, distraught by what we were seeing and what we thought was going on. And then I had some that was just as calm, and, you know, and then I had some that just simply went along with the flow. So what role do we play? What role should we play? A couple weeks ago, and sorry I didn't get a chance to share the results with you last week. Last week I was just coming off of doing a panel discussion, and I must say that the panel discussion, I would say, turned out pretty good. You know, of course, we always wish that we have a maximum turnout. But I believe the folks that did have an opportunity to attend definitely got something out of the event. And that's always a plus because they are just another set of eyes and ears that can go back and share something with their friends and family on what the Parents Coach Parents Network is doing here in the community. So as a result, we must chalk that one off as another success, you know, because we were able to reach another set of parents that may not have had the information or may have needed the information, you know, that we shared during our panel discussion. And just to give you a quick recap on the panel discussion, we brought in a local recruiting service owner, CEO and founder. And, you know, he was able to share some of the things that he experienced from time to time when dealing with not only the athletes, but also dealing with the parents and sharing some of the things that he's doing in the community to help change the dynamics of, you know, whether our kids are making it to the next level. And when I say making it to the next level, not just making it to the next level athletically, but making it to the next level educationally and professionally overall. So he's been able to share some information with them over the years that made it beneficial for them in the long run, and not only beneficial for them, but also beneficial for the parents. Then we also had a high school guidance counselor. High school guidance counselor, if you don't already know, folks, high school guidance counselors, there is one individual in each high school that's a member institution of the NCAA or that falls under the NCAA's umbrella. This guidance counselor or this counselor, not necessarily say that they're pulling someone out of the guidance department, but this counselor holds the responsibility of ensuring that our student athletes become eligible or are eligible or understand the eligibility requirements. So we brought in a great, actually former student athlete herself, and she just shared some of the things that she do with the parents over the years. You know, when we find a young man or a young lady that is eligible and providing the information, necessary information with them and hoping and helping them dot every I and cross every T. Then we brought in also a compliance officer, director, associate director, assistant director of compliance from a nearby university, a Division II school. But this individual, I targeted her to bring her in because she's had a wide variety of, you know, working at different levels. So she was able to bring a great perspective to the table as far as just informing folks of, some of the different requirements, some of the different requirements that we may see out there. So that was a huge plus. And in doing so, I think the parents really and truly got something out of it. And in the end, it was a win-win situation for everyone. Then our fourth panelist was a local sports reporter. But although he currently reports, at the local level here, he has had other assignments throughout the years in reporting that gives them a really good look at what we're faced with across the country. Having an opportunity to live in other parts of the country and work in other parts of the country as well. So they gave him a broader perspective of what we deal with here. And then one of the valuable things that I think he brought to the table was reinforcing something that we all strive to make sure that our kids are capable of doing, just getting out and speaking up for themselves. And he stressed that point very well. And, just sharing with the parents how important it is for their athletes to be able to speak effectively. Oftentimes he stated that, we have a number of young folks that they step up in front of a camera or step up in front of the microphone and they think that they're talking to, one of their friends instead of presenting themselves and professionally speaking, they're sitting up there and they're talking as though, they talk with one of their friends walking down the hallway in school. That's not the time nor the place for that. Present yourself in a professional manner. And I'm not saying necessarily, you have to be able to speak, absolutely positively without a doubt correct English. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not being that critical, but just being able to speak, articulate, and just speak with some substance, speak with some value in your words. And he stressed that point very well. And I like it every time because I've actually seen him at work where Okay, I'm not sure exactly what happened, but I thank my listeners for just immediately letting me know that the call had dropped. Like I said, all of a sudden I just heard this disconnect, and I looked at my switchboard and it appeared that I was still on, but evidently that wasn't the case. So getting back to what I was saying, you know, I appreciate our fourth panelist. He came in and really delivered, you know, the importance of, you know, being able to speak and articulate your thoughts and adding some value, some substance to what you're actually saying. What I was saying before I got disconnected, I hope you caught that part all the way up to that point. I've actually watched him interview an individual, and he has the ability, and it's a great ability, to guide them through the conversation, which, let me tell you something, parents, that is a huge plus, because he's not one that just simply allows your child to ramble off just some, anything that pops up in the head. He tries to not put words in their mouth, but he guides them in their conversation to give them the words to echo back to him and complete it with their sentence. And I think it's a huge, huge, huge plus in what he does. So thanks to that panelist for the great job he did and sharing what he had to share with our parents. And again, I think overall it was a huge success. Again, I always wish for a better turnout, bigger turnout, maximum numbers. But, you know, it is what it is. If we reach one or if we reach 1,000, you know, it's always a plus to make sure that we're making the best impact that we can possibly make. Last panelist was myself. And I was just there just for the parent side of things, and at the same time learning from other panelists on things that they got going on and things that has changed over the years. Just to share from my perspective as a parent of, you know, a former student athlete, now a professional athlete, just sharing that information with the parents on some of the things that we have experienced over the years, you know, from my viewpoint, and just sharing some additional things that, you know, my son has experienced that he thought was a changing point or a turning point, complete all that or to ball all that up and made for a wonderful evening, a great opportunity for the parents to get some firsthand information. Had a series of questions that our moderator very eloquently put out there, and in turn, we got to the end, wrapped it up. Parents had an opportunity to ask some questions for things that they may not have understood. And in the end, again, I think it was a win-win-win situation. I had three wins in there, you know, for the sole purpose of letting you know that the parents have won. We as a panelist, we won because, you know, we was able to share our insight with, you know, others that needed the information, the next generation of parents. And overall, the community won because now we have some parents that's a little bit more smarter, wiser, sharper, and more fluent in what it takes to help their child get to the next level of sports, or even more so, get to that next level of education. And that's where I say the win. Enough said about that. And we will have another event probably coming up next spring. So if you know of anybody that's in need, or if you just want to come out and give your support, show your support, by all means, we invite you to come on out. You know, and hey, never know. You may be the next person to have on the panel just to share some information with other parents, you know, because it's all about sharing information. You know, everybody has experienced different things going through this recruiting process. So we just like to make sure that everybody is well aware, well informed, and well in tune on how to get the best out of every situation. So we want to make it a win-win-win situation for everyone. Well, you remember a couple weeks ago, I also had the opportunity to talk about sports parenting, positive sports parenting. And I asked a series of questions. And I went through those 10 questions just to see where are you. And going through those 10 questions, I gave you the opportunity to rate yourself. 2 to 5, with 1 being the worst possible situation and 5 being, hey, just like it. You know, that this is you all the way through. And in doing so, I'm hoping that some of you have had the chance to review that information. And I wanted to go back or come back last week and just give you some more insight on some of the results on where you should be as a parent, if you've answered those questions correctly. And now, let me say this. In answering those questions, folks, I'm not asking anyone to call in and share their results with us. If you want to, hey, we're more than welcome you. But I want you just to look at it on your own, just to see what you see and see whether or not, okay, hey, I need to put some additional work into this thing, or, hey, you know, for right on point with everybody else, or, well, I'm somewhere in the middle, and there's a few things that I can do better, you know. And, you know, we all have room to grow, and that's just part of life. And in doing so, it all starts with being honest with ourselves. Being honest with ourselves. So when you answer those questions, you know, it's answers that you are only going to see. And they should have been very honest answers. You know, if it says that, you know, the question, I'll get to the questions here. I'm going to recap the questions here real soon. But and looking at the questions, if it talked about whether or not you address, you know, the game or the event immediately following on your ride home, you know, when was the best time to do that? Was that you? Is that something that you do? Or do you actually wait? You know, if it asks that question, then be honest. Say you do or say you don't. You know, don't try to look for the right answer. The right answer is the answer that's coming from you. The right answer is the answer that you really and truly is strong on, and you really and truly honestly do, and there's no question about it. So as a result, the right answer all comes from you. So, you know, and asking that question, where are you as a parent? You know, where are you as a parent? And if you went through and you answered those questions and you answered them fairly, then you'll see. You'll see. But the best part about it, you'll be the only one to see. It's not like it's a test. It's not like, we're going to judge you on it or we're going to do anything. We're simply going to just go through and review answers and letting you know where you stand. Letting you know where you stand. And so I'm going to give you a minute or so to find your answers. Take a look at each one of the questions. If you recall the questions, I'm going to come back and I'm going to go through the questions. And then going through the questions, give you the opportunity to recall what we had a chance to talk about, and then talking about those things, making sure that you are able to answer every question. And at the end of the day, dot that I, cross that T, and we helping you become a better sports parent in the end, because that's what it's all about. It's not about me. It's not about what I want you to do. It's about, in the end, you becoming the best sports parent. That's all. That's all. So I'm going to pull the questions here in a second, and we're going to review the questions, and then we're going to move forward. So are you ready there, parents? Are you do you remember the questions? And if you're just tuning in for the first time and you didn't get a chance to hear the questions from last week, or a couple weeks ago, should I say, I will, give you a chance to get your thoughts together and pull that in as well. So, on that note, let's look at our questions. Let's look at our questions. The first question being, do you emphasize the development of my child and having fun more than winning? You remember that? Do you emphasize the development of your child having fun more than winning? Next question. Do you avoid trying to coach my child when he or she has a coach? The next question. Do I provide love and support regardless of the outcome of the game? Question number four. Do I emphasize the importance of hard work with my child? Question number five. Do I hold my child accountable for poor or unsportsmanlike behavior during a game? Question number six. Do I avoid focusing the majority of our conversation at home? Somewhere along the line.
Oh, what I got wrong.
Okay. Do I avoid focusing the majority of our conversation at home on my child's sports? In other words, do I just sit and talk about the sports, tell them what they can do best all the time? No, we don't do all that. Anyway, okay. Do I avoid considering my child's sport as an investment, or should I receive something in return? Okay. Question number eight. Do I treat my child the same following a win or a loss? Question number nine. Do I avoid criticizing my child immediately following a game or during the ride home? And question number 10. Do I support my player on the team? Do I support all players on the team, even when my son or daughter is not playing? That's question number 10. Now, in doing all that and reading all that, let's hear what the National Federation of High Schools have to say about how you would have scored yourself in each one of those questions. Now, remembering each one of those questions, if you scored yourself a one, that's not like you. If you scored yourself a five, very much like you. Where are you at? Well, let's look at something here. If your total score out of those 10 questions, if your total score was a 10, or below, hopefully not, because you at least, hopefully you answered every question. If your total score was a 10 or below, well, Pat, I think it may be some time to look at some review and make a few changes. Look at some review and make a few changes. Now, if your total score was 11 through 19, then we will honestly say there's some work that needs to be done. You know, look at anything that you may have had 3 and below on and ask yourself why. Why? Where are you at? What would cause you to think that that is, you know, how could you, not your child, not the coach, how could you make that situation better? If your score was somewhere in between 20 to 29, you know, we look at you sometimes. Sometimes you're a positive parent, and sometimes, you know, you have a tendency to, you know, hit that negative side. You know, but the high side of things that you're doing so far can be considered positive, and we truly appreciate that. And again, anything that you're looking at that could have been or that was anything below a 3, again, evaluating yourself to see how you can make a change in that situation. It's not something that the child is going to have to do. It's not something that your coach will have to do. It's something that you as a parent, you as an adult, should consider. Score anywhere between 30 to 39, on the average, you would be considered a positive sports parent, a positive parent. You're someone that, you know, definitely the coaches would love to see out there, the officials would love to see out there, other parents would love to see out there. You know, you're pretty much that neutral parent, that parent that kind of like goes along with the flow. Occasionally, you may have some issues with a few things, but for the most part, hey, you're staying on a positive note, and that's a great thing because, remember, folks, the way you conduct yourself impacts your children. They see it, they read it, they feel it. They can just glance up into the stands, up into the bleachers, and see the expression on your face and already know your full thoughts. That's our children. We have raised them for 16, 17, 18 years. And in some cases, you know, 8, 9, 10 years, whatever. We've raised them. They're able to read us. That's how they're able to manipulate us from time to time. We all know how that goes. All right. But if your score is somewhere between 40 to 50, parents, I would say you are a great model. You are a model parent. You are someone that we would love to have as a great example. Actually, you know what? I have to honestly say, at any one of these situations, I would love to have you as a parent being an intricate part of the Parents Code of Parents Network. Not just because you scored somewhere between 40 to 50. I'm saying at any level, from what we just looked at, I would love to have you as an intricate part of the Parents Coach and Parents Network. And I say that because you're able to bring a different perspective to the table. You're able to bring something to the table that we may be overlooking. You know, you may have just been rated not too high. But in the end, it may be a huge plus for all of us to say, maybe we want to look at it again and see where we're falling short. So that 40 to 50 may be something that, you know, may be overemphasized, but even more so that 10-point person, maybe something that has some great ideals or some things that we as parents, we really and truly need to look at. You know, I oftentimes look at some of these parents that are involved in the recruiting process. And I had a chance to see it again firsthand from a coworker. And he went through a series of trying to entertain, a group of college coaches over the last couple of weeks. You know, the college coaches were coming in and, you know, they were interested in sitting down and talking to him, about his son and wanting to find out if his son was interested in, you know, becoming part of their program, you know, and the whole works. So in the end, you had the heavy recruiting going on. You know, you had the coach coming in and giving you his best spiel and going his little marketing lines on you. The whole works. Now, the average parent that is not familiar with that process, it can become slightly overwhelming. It can become overwhelming to the point of, you know, you're looking at this whole deal and like, oh, man, you know, what do I do next? Well, let me say this, parents. Let me say this, and I need you to really and truly understand this. If your child is that athlete, first of all, he or she's going to get in school. You know, we're gonna be realistic about that part. They're going to get in school. You know, and if you got the coaches there and the coaches is knocking down the door just to get your athlete's attention and to get your attention, and in the case that I'm talking about now, she actually had the coach who was coming to my coworkers, well, should I say our place of employment, just to get the coach, just to get the dad's attention, you know, which that means that there was a very high interest in his son, where they took the time to, you know, come to, you know, his place of employment and try to woo-woo him. But even more so, this is what I tell. I sat down and had a long talk with him as well. You know, I say, okay, they came to the job. They sit there and they try to woo-woo you. But hopefully you wasn't overwhelmed with just sitting there listening to, you know, their conversation. You were able to maintain a, you know, solid head and keep yourself together, because at the end of the day, they want your child. They want your child. They want your child as a part of their program. And if they're going to go all out to do all that and tap dance and roll out the red carpet, that's because they have a strong sense of, hey, we got to dot a few more I's and cross a few more T's to get this young man. So as a result, you know, they're trying to do everything they can do. And as a result, they're trying to make sure that they're being upfront and honest about what they're doing and how they're doing it. Because if not, then you're going to have a faulty program. You're going to have a program where the coaches aren't being honest. The coaches aren't being upfront. You know, the coaches are simply, you know, I say this all the time, and people laugh at me when I say it. They're being untrustworthy. They're being the used car salesman that they have known to be. And what I mean by being the used car salesman, I say it and I tell parents this all the time. You know, these coaches will do everything they can possibly do to make a deal. These coaches will do everything they can possibly do to get your child to that school. You know, they're going to tell you everything they want you to hear. And hopefully, hoping that they're thinking that they're dotting every I, crossing every T. You know, I talk to parents about it all the time. I say, hey, ask the hard questions. Find out if your child starts having ailments or gets injured, still, are they still on scholarship? Are they still going to maintain that scholarship for the for that entire year? Or, you know, in some cases, there's some schools, for the remainder of his time there at that institution, whether or not it's next 2 or 3 years, 4 years. What happens? If your child gets hurt during an activity, whether or not it's practice or a game, okay, who's covering the medical bill? Sad part about that is that schools aren't set up where that they can make sure that the parents are brought to that site. You know, some schools may be able to work something out or try to work something out, but I think that's a very important thing. You're sitting there, you're watching, just so happy you're unable to get to that particular game. The game is on the West Coast. You're originally from the East Coast, or the game is on the East Coast and you're originally from the West Coast. You're unable to get to that game. And you're sitting there, you're watching that game, and you see your child get hurt. What next? Is someone from that institution immediately reaching out to you to get you there by your child's side? Is that the case? Is someone from that institution even reaching out to you to give you a breakdown or play-by-play of what's going on and trying to find out how soon could you get there? Or are they going to take the attitude, well, the child's 18, the child's 19, the child's 20 years old. Oh, if he wants to call or she wants to call the parents, then they can call the parents. Really? You didn't say that when you were sitting in my living room when the child was 16 or 17 years old and you were trying to convince us to have that child come to your institution. So be able to ask the hard questions, parents. Be able to ask the hard questions. Don't hold nothing back. Because at the end of the day, if that school wants your child bad enough, they're going to give you some honest and upfront answers. And if they don't give you no honest and upfront answers, I think it's time to find you another institution. You know, oftentimes, and this debate is still out. Some folks say, well, don't go to the school because of the coach. My personal opinion, and I'm just going to tell you what my opinion is. Not the overall opinion of the Parents Coach Parents Network. What my opinion is. My opinion is that coach is going to be the person that's going to be responsible for your child for the next 3 or 4 years. That coach is the person that will have the most impact or influence over your child's career over the next 3 or 4 years. Not that institution. That coach. Because although they want to say your child is a student athlete, we all know at these major institutions, athlete comes first and student comes second. That's the reality of it. They'll be quick to tell you that once you reach that level, it's a business, but they're not quick to tell you that the reversal of those two words take place because now it is a business. Parents, I'm just giving it to you from the parents' perspective. from what I've seen over the years, what I have experienced, what I have learned from other parents that I have talked to around the country. That's it. I'm not saying anything that I'm just making it up. I'm just giving you from a very real perspective. Now, there are some institutions that, you know, are wholeheartedly all about, you know, making sure that the child do what he or she has to do. But if that child is an athlete, they're going to place a lot of that responsibility on the coaching staff. And that's why I said the coaching staff plays a valuable part in making sure that that child does everything that he or she needs to do. So when you look at a school, you have to unequivocally take it into account that that coach, who he or she may be, is very, very, very important. Do you really and truly want to send your child to a school where he or she, it's a great school, but your child will be verbally abused every day? Some children can take it. Some children can't. Do you verbally abuse your child every day? So why would he or she have to go to an institution where they think they're there for the betterment of themselves, to develop themselves into valuable citizens within our community, and on a regular basis, they're dealing with some verbal and very distasteful, very disrespectful, abusive language, for real? How many different ways do I have to put it? Not. Because at institutions like that, and they think that they are somewhere sitting on the high crust of life, they are able to treat our children any given way, anyway, and there's no one there because this is such a great institution. We wouldn't tolerate that. But nobody's checking this coach. How many cases have we seen around the country where no one has checked these coaches? So be able to ask the hard questions, parents. Be able to ask the hard questions, because if you don't ask the hard questions, guess what? The whole thing will be overlooked. The whole thing will be overlooked. And you don't want that to happen. You don't want that to happen. Well, folks, I'm going to stop for a hot second here, and we're going to go. And we don't have to pay no bills, but we're just going to provide you with some information. Like I like to say, my infomercial. So we're going to see how that goes, and we'll be. Well, evidently my audio tracks aren't working. But I must be having some kind of technical difficulty. But, I'm just going to try to get some information out about the NAIA and just share some little tidbits with you on that particular subject, because, that is another option for our children. You know, oftentimes we hear and see and think NCAA, but, you know, the NAIA has valuable programs as well. National Association for Intercollegiate Athletics. And that is just a great tool for just having an opportunity to, another set of schools that your child can possibly attend. NAIA, National Association for Intercollegiate Athletics. You know, and they are out there just as well to support our student athletes. Well, folks, we've been talking here for about the last 45 minutes to or so, just to, you know, just to give you some insight on some things that we've came across over the last few weeks or so. You know, if you have any questions, please, by all means, reach out to us here at Parents Go to Parents Network. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter, and you can find us on Instagram as well. And it's all about us supporting you in your endeavors as you pursue or aid your child in pursuing that athletic scholarship. You know, I say and talk about this all the time, we as parents must be proactive, must be a part of, must be our child's biggest advocate. And I say it all the time, it's not an optional thing. But I don't want that to be misinterpreted by saying that we must become that helicopter parent. And what I mean by that helicopter parent, I don't want you to be one that's hovering over the recruiting process so heavy and so hard that your child isn't allowed to make any decision. Because they're going to make the decisions, and they're going to have to make the decision. And I stress this point because at the end of the day, it's them that's going to have to buy into that particular program that they're going to become a part of. It's them that's going to have to buy into that institution that now has become an extended part of their life. That's them that's going to have to buy into that coaching staff. That's all serious. All part of it. But at the same time, we as parents, and I think this is where our role comes in, parents, and this is where we must understand, we can play a role as a buffer. We can help them weed out some of the negativity or some of the fluff. Some of the fluff that comes along with this here recruiting process. And what I mean by some of the fluff, folks, you know, these coaches, coaches staff, other folks affiliated and associated with the program have a tendency to get our child's attention based upon any and everything that they can possibly think of and talk about. If they can draw our child into a conversation based upon just looking at the child's shoes and talking about, well, hey, are those the 13s or are those the 12s? Or those the Ghost Riders or whatever name that's associated with the shoe, or looking at the phone, hey, oh, I see you got the Galaxy S5. You know, most of the kids in our program, they got the 6s, or they got the iPhone 7s, or they got this, or they got the whatever, okay? If they can draw that conversation in like that, then that's conversation that we as parents can look at as being fluff. And what I mean by fluff, that's something that has nothing to do with playing time, that has nothing to do with your education, that has nothing to do with the institution that you will be attending. That's just a conversation that lured you in, that gave you the impression, but hey, this guy is cool. He knows what's going on. He's my coach. Really? I've actually had a coach doing an official visit, and I experienced this firsthand. Walk with my son and I, and while walking with us, and he had a couple of assistants with him, he's talking to my son about the rims, or he's talking to my son about the latest video that just went viral. He's talking to my son about what type of phone he had. This is all firsthand information, folks. What does that have to do with your program? What does that have to do with your institution? What does that have to do with his academics? Absolutely, positively, nothing. Zero. Zilch. Conversation. That's the way he was able to lure my son into a conversation, because he wasn't getting out of my son anything. You know, he was trying to talk, and my son was like, okay, I'm here to listen. You sell me. I'm not going to give you something to let you ride on that. So he tried to lure, he tried to drag conversation. So he threw out a few probing conversations, little probing things, just to get my son talking. And then afterwards, we got back in the car. My son brought it up the minute we got back in the car. Dad, what coach talking about? What kind of rims he got on his car? I said, I don't know, son. He thought that you was one of them airhead kids or one of them young men that was easily influenced or, you know, affected by that kind of stuff. So it is what it is, folks. That's what we must be, the buffers in this process. It's not an optional thing. It's a must. Where is our role? That is our role. Do we have to hover over the entire program and tell our child, well, no, you're not going to go here. You're going to this school here because for whatever reason, you read that this school is the best institution in the country? Okay, well, the person that wrote that, that's their opinion. Child doesn't have anything to back that up. That may not be your child's opinion. That may be a nightmare for your child waiting to happen. Would you force that upon your child? Would you live comfortable knowing that you just forced that upon your child and now your child's stuck in a situation where he or she is uncomfortable for the next 3 or 4 years? Really? So that's why I say we're part of being the buffer in the program. We're part of being the buffer in the process there, folks. We are the buffer. We must be our child's biggest advocate. That's what we do here at the Parents Coach Parents Network, and we share information that we have learned from other parents around the country. You know, that's been part of the process. So things that you hear me saying here is not just something, my opinion, my thoughts, my views, my comments, my moans, groans, gripes, or complaints. These are things I've learned from others over the years and will continue to share with you, the next generation of parents and student athletes. Well, folks, our time has come and gone, and it's been a very great show. And I didn't see we had too many callers. I know we had a couple of our faithful callers on, but we didn't have too many questions coming in. But we'll be doing this again, same time, same place, same channel, here on the Parents Coach Parents Network, here on Blog Talk Radio. Again, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter at PCP Network, or you can find us on Instagram at PCP Network as well. If you have any questions or anything that you'd like to share with us, hey, hit us up on our Parents Coach Parents Network page on Facebook and just simply ask your question, put the information out there, and we'll bring it up on the air or catch us on Instagram, catch us on Twitter. Hey, we want to hear from you because you are the future of program in this process. All right, folks, so on that note, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun, as always. This is M.H. Scott, the host of the Parents Coach and Parents Network. Hey, you have a great week ahead of you, and we'll see you again next Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio. Good night. We're out.